Hello, friends and brothers. This is Justin Jones with Masonic Improvement, joined with my co-host, Dennis Yates. How you doing, Dennis?
Wonderful in yourself.
I am outstanding. Thank you for asking. So this evening, we're going to talk about the importance of building buy-in at your lodge.
Leadership 101. Back to the basics.
Building buy-in is a very basic leadership concept, like Dennis said. However, because it's so basic, it often gets overlooked, brushed aside, and disregarded. And so we're going to kind of pull the reins a little bit and turn around and take a big scope over what we've covered in the past and revisit some of these things because we've had a lot of new subscribers. We've had a lot of new people that are members now. And we've grown a whole lot, but that also means that when you're putting out videos every week, 4 weeks a month, 12 months a year, that's a lot of videos. We have a ton of
Yeah.
content. I think this is probably just wise that we take a step back and let's revisit some of these introductory concepts for leadership. And we're going to hit on buy-in tonight, and we'll see what comes up next. But I think you and I agree that this is something that is very important.
Oh yeah, it's one of the very most important things in any kind of a volunteer organization. You're not paying anybody, so you can't tell them what to do. So what do? You get buy-in. Otherwise, you're going to be doing all of your events alone. And all your big stuff that you've always done, people will just start walking away from it because they don't feel the same attraction to the leader that they did prior. That's a big thing in leadership is having that buy-in.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is a volunteer organization. And Freemasonry, we put a lot of emphasis on the Worshipful Master. He has a lot of say in the lodge. I mean, really, whatever he says goes in the lodge. But it's also a volunteer organization. You can't boss people around if they're not there, right?
Right.
And that's why this buy-in concept is so important because I've seen it. I'm sure Dennis has seen it. And probably most of the viewers, you get a Worshipful Master who's never been to like officer leadership training or anything like that. He might have been maybe like a EA 3 years ago, burst through his work, went to a junior warden, senior warden, and now he's Worshipful Master. He didn't really know what Freemasonry is, but
Yeah,
now he's
it's
in a leadership
that's and
position.
that's a shame.
It
Yeah,
is,
that's
it
a
really
shame.
is. But so let's look at what buy-in is, and then we'll talk about why it's actually important. So Dennis, how would you define buy-in?
Buy-in is getting someone to voluntarily offer up their resources to you for the betterment of your goals. That's getting buy-in.
And that could be time, it could be money, it could be a skill set. And so why this is important, Freemasonry is a volunteer organization. People join of their own free will and they continue showing up of their own free will. There's no penalty if they don't come to lodge meetings. So if you have a Worshipful Master that gets installed and starts running the lodge like a dictator, he's going to find out real quick that it doesn't matter how healthy that lodge was when he got installed. He's going to have very few people showing up to those meetings.
Right.
And you can't do anything when nobody shows up. And I have seen this, and not even necessarily a dictator, but just someone who doesn't understand the concept of buy-in. And I think this is what burns out a lot of worship masters because they might be a great guy and they're not a dictator, but they don't understand this buy-in concept. And so to be sure they have a successful year or what they would, or try to at least salvage their year, they do everything themselves. And by the time that year's up, they're burnt out, they're exhausted because they've done all the work themselves. They can't get anyone to show up and support anything they're trying to do. And when that year is done, they are gone and you never see them again.
It also happens when people just let it go to their head. I mean, even the title Worshipful Master, really, for those of you that are not Masons, that title just means honorable, right? You're the honorable, like a judge or something like that. You're the honorable person in position. And if you don't carry yourself with honor, you're not going to receive honor from the folks. Really, this happens in even situations in general business. If you don't have the buy-in of your employees, you're going to get a far inferior product to what you would get if your employees were pumped up. That's why you'll have pep talks every morning before you get started. It's the first level manager's job to keep the workforce pumped up. They really are nothing more than your cheerleader. They're the connection between actual management that makes decisions and boots on the ground people. And so their job is really to pump you up more than anything. So that's a lot how a lodge works in all reality, because you're dealing with people who have very little incentive to be there besides their loyalty to Freemasonry and the fact that they pay dues. Otherwise, they don't have to be there for any good reason.
I think it's also great to look at it this way. And this is part of the reason why I think learning leadership in Freemasonry is so valuable. Because if you can successfully lead a volunteer organization, you'll probably do pretty well in the workforce as a manager or something where people are actually being paid. And on the other hand, if you are a manager and you are paying people and you cannot get them to do anything, you're probably not going to be a very good worship master, not without some kind of leadership development. Because if you can't pay people to do what you ask them to do, you definitely can't get on the volunteer to do it. But if you can get people to volunteer, if you can rally them to give up their time, skill sets, resources, then you could definitely be successful if you're paying them. So that's why this is such a important video that we're making, and this is why we're covering this. So how do we go about building buy-in?
Oh man, that's something that takes years, in my opinion. I truly believe that. Don't immediately come into a situation of volunteers or even, say, first level leadership and immediately get the respect and love and admiration of people. It takes time. You need to know what people's strengths are first and know people. You have to like people. That sounds like a pretty simple concept. But I can tell you, I can tell you that it's very difficult for some people to actually be leaders because they don't like people. So you have to act genuinely. The most successful leaders I've ever seen.
I would also say a lot of it depends on what you're trying to get buy-in on, but I think overall it's kind of the same way. Like you're saying, you have to build those relationships with people first. And
And know what they're all about.
this is where really believing we're all on the level really comes into play. Because if you feel like you're up here and these guys are down here, you're never going to build those relationships. If you come into lodge every meeting with this mentality, how can I be helpful today? And go to the worship
Yes,
master,
that one's going to be my number two.
what can I do to help get ready? Or just volunteer. If especially if you can just do it without asking, you see something that needs to be done, don't sit around like a bump on a log. Take action and take care of it. It shows servant leadership. And I think if you want to build buy-in, you have to adopt, and this is where I'm going with this, you have to adopt a servant leadership mentality. If you want to actually be a leader in Freemasonry, the day you turn in that petition, you have to resolve yourself to be that servant leader and not necessarily come in even as a leader, but be a value to the lodge. And if you can be a value to the lodge, when you are in that leadership position, you will be that servant leader that the fraternity needs.
And people will be more willing to help you. But at the same time, you can't be afraid to ask for help.
No.
You know, that's where people fall into trouble is they fall too deeply into that servant part and they fall out of that leader part to where it's them always doing the work and then nobody follows. Nobody comes in to help them with the work. I don't know if it's if they're afraid to ask them to do something like that, but I tell everybody. Is that I'm never going to ask you to do anything that I'm not willing to do myself. And
Exactly.
I've proven it over and over and over again. And people tend to forget that sometimes because I'm always traveling around and talking and stuff like that. And they think, oh, well, he's got bigger fish to fry, whatever. Well, no, I don't. I just manage my time very seriously. And then when you got me, you got me. When you don't, I've got other things to do. And some of that involves working behind the scenes where nobody really sees me doing stuff. And so I'm going to make sure and be that asset to my lodges. I feel like it's almost a duty to have that mindset that you're going to use the skill sets no matter where they are on the spectrum to the betterment of your lodges. It may not always be mopping the floor. Sometimes it's going to be something else. But I'm certainly not above mopping the floors. I've done it plenty of times.
I'll tack on to that. Just because you're a servant leader doesn't mean that you do everything yourself. If you have the buy-in of your lodge, but you're not delegating tasks, you're missing a huge component that comes with the value of having that buy-in. Because if you have the buy-in from your membership, you can delegate these things to them and give them the
Yes.
opportunity to take ownership. If the whole lodge is bought in, or the majority of the lodge is bought in, it's not your project anymore. It's the
Right.
lodge project. It's not your
Yes.
vision. It's the lodge's vision.
You touched on something very key right there, and that is asking them and allocating jobs. If somebody's willing to follow, you have to be willing to lead. You have to be willing to give people responsibilities to take care of so that they don't feel like their time is wasted.
Moving forward with this concept of ownership, I want to really also bring in this point that we talk about light in this fraternity a lot, bringing light, education to our membership. And this is a huge component also of building buy-in. You can't just show up for a standing meeting and say, hey, we need to double our dues. However, if you had been coming for the last 2 months or something, and giving well thought out presentations. Hey, this is where our dues are now. This is what our operating costs are. This is my justification for why this is what our dues need to be. And work on actually building that buy-in, having the conversations with those brothers, answering their questions. You're getting that buy-in. You might not have 100%, but you're educating people on why it should be what it is. And that's just dues as an example, but whatever your vision is, whatever you feel that the lodge needs to move forward, you need to start educating the brothers. And I say your vision because, yes, the lodge has a vision, but the lodge vision is the shared vision of all the members. And if you have a vision for where you want that lodge to go, that's the beauty of vision. If you share that vision with other people, it becomes their vision too, and that becomes the lodge vision. And so if it is a positive vision, if it is a move in the right direction and you're educating the brothers, then they will adopt that as well. But you can't wait until you're installed in the East and have been quiet about it this whole time because it's my idea and I don't want anyone to take it. The year that you are the worshipful master is not the year to start building buy-in. It's the year to implement. It's the year
Right.
to actually take action on the buy-in that you built and the plans that you have made over the last few years with your brothers. Because
Right.
as a worshipful master, it's not the time to build buy-in. It's the time to be decisive and take action.
I think you're constantly getting buy-in as you're taking action because once you start taking action on something, the buy-in remains. It's either going to remain or it's going to diminish. So as you're taking action on something, they're either going to see that what they were accepting to do is coming out to a positive, or they're going to see it as it's turning out to be a shit show, and they're gonna, just kind of drop off, and then you're going to lose your buy-in for the next project. So you have to consistently be building up, or you'll be dropped down one time, and then you'll be building up again because all it takes is once, and then you've got to start from the beginning again. You're only as good as that last transmission you built, right?
Absolutely.
That's what I used to say in my shop. You're only as good as that last transmission you built.
If you're in the lineup at your lodge, and if tradition prevails, you're expecting to be in the East in a handful of years. You probably think you have a lot of great ideas, and maybe they are great ideas. We need to start talking about it now. You need to start building that now, sharing that vision and getting that buy-in now. I know why brothers do it because they don't want other people to get the credit for their ideas.
They don't understand secession leadership.
And that's really not why you should have good ideas. It should not be to get credit. You should be trying to come up with things that will benefit the lodge, that will bring a good reputation to the fraternity in your community, build esteem among your brothers. Those are the kind of things you should be focusing on. And if you're thinking about you in the middle of all of that, accolades you'll get, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. You need to start building that buy-in now and sharing it now because no good plan only lasts a year.
Right.
So get that good plan going. If you can build that buy-in, if you can implement before you're installed in the East, that's great. That's fine.
Yeah, and only getting it from your close circle of friends is not your not getting the buy-in. Getting the buy-in is getting it from the membership, not from just a few friends. Your friends are going to support you already, right? So if you're just coming to me to get that buy-in, you're coming to the wrong person because I'm the guy that's going to be your cheerleader anyways because I'm a good pass matcher, right? Or at least I like to think I am. I'm not always there. You know, some people think, oh, you got to be there all the time. No, I'm the guy that is the biggest cheerleader for my new masters and my officers going forward. I want them to succeed. I don't need to succeed anymore. They need to succeed. So
Exactly.
if you're thinking that my acceptance and my cheerleading is going to get you that next thing, it may not, because not everybody's a fan of this. You may be because I'm your cheerleader, right? But not everybody is gonna just buy in because I do. Now, granted, Justin and I have researched a lot. We're pretty well known for what we know when it comes to lodges. But still, that doesn't mean that everybody trusts that or believes that, because not everybody likes to run a good lodge. Some like to run a shitty lodge. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. We're not always in agreement on everything with every brother out there. So we all have different ideas. Some work better than others. And I've started helping the NWSA down in Corpus. I'm a member of Oso Naval Lodge down there. And in fact, we're having practice for the visit on Tuesday. We're having our practice on Monday. And I talked to the master of the lodge. I said, well, you know, do you need me down there? He said, well, no, I know my part and I know you know your part. Don't worry about it. But really, if I'm not down there to help, how am I showing these guys that I support them if I'm not helping them to be better? Because it takes all of us to be that team. I'll be sitting a senior warden, so that's a big blank spot if I'm not there during practice. So I should be there. But here's another point. We just built a new website, southtexasmasons.com, and we're not only doing it for our lodges in our district, but we're also extending it out to other lodges in South Texas. Well, on the website, we're highlighting our lodges, right? And we're telling all these brothers, look, link up your lodge page with us and we'll get you going. Well, of course, like most of Texas, 95% of the lodges have Facebook. They do not have websites. So, because we want this to be a success, we built the website. It's been going now for a few months. And now we've set up a workshop for April 20th for all the lodges and any of the appendant bodies down in the South Texas area near the coastal bend. They can come in and I am going to help every lodge build a website right then and there that day. And we're going to link them up to the MWSA website that day. They will all be functional when we leave that day. And Mike Keene, he's the one who inspired all of this and he's doing the same thing. We're going to be in it together, helping educate these brothers. And when I'm running down there helping one guy with a spot that they may be stuck in, Mike will be talking and filling the blank so that, you know, it, trying to help answer questions if he can and whatnot. It's going to be a good day. But either way, we're going to be doing that to support the lodges. And if you want the lodges to succeed, the best way you can do that is by supporting the lodges.
And I think you hit on something else that's really lines up with what we're talking about with the buy-in. Because we talked about education, that the front loading the education, getting the buy-in for ideas. But what about building buy-in for practices? And I think you hit on something. You have to educate on how you want things done. And often the best way to do that is by doing it yourself. And the more of a leader you are in your lodge or your district, the more impact that has. Like me personally, I don't know why you would ever hold any kind of Masonic meeting where this is supposed to be represented at the King Solomon's Temple with a dirty floor. That's just like, why would you not vacuum? And so if you want these new guys in the leadership to come in and develop this idea, like, hey, if we're going to have a meeting for anything, this floor needs to at least be vacuumed. Then you start doing that. And if anyone asks why you're doing it, you explain that. And then what will happen is you'll come to lodge one evening and the new guy will be doing it, or the junior deacon will be doing it. And that contagious, that it's a culture in your lodge is what it does. And that's the value of leading by example, educating by servant leadership, because that becomes a part of your lodge culture. It could be mopping the floor. It could be the jewels on the stations. Anything like that, if you want to build that as part of your lodge practice, then you start doing it. You start doing it because people will notice. Just like when I was talking about vacuuming, if the worship master is vacuuming the lodge before a meeting, people are going to volunteer to help you. And if you keep doing it, what's going to happen is they'll get there a little bit earlier and they'll do it before you get there. And then it's worship master, you don't have to worry, I already vacuumed for it. And then at that point,
Right.
you know, hey, at least I got one guy.
Well, when they do offer though, you do need to let them. So if you're sitting there vacuuming and somebody says, "Hey, let me help with that," then you need to go ahead and let them, and then you move on to something else because you do have more important things than vacuuming the floor.
Absolutely.
But if you're still at that stage to where you're trying to teach them that this is important, then yeah, you need to do it. And then when somebody comes up, then hand over the reins. Say thank you, I'm grateful, and then go do something else that I was kind of touching on earlier. As you're doing it, you continuously get that buy-in. I believe that if you have a job for everybody, every officer there, they have their respective jobs when they're sitting in the seats, right? What about when they're not sitting in the seats? They've also got, so I've got three different parts to this. Oh, a triangle. Imagine that.
What kind of triangle is that?
If only
A
my hands made a
triangle.
perfect
A
a
triangle. Look
triangle.
at my triangle.
Okay, so three things, right? So you have your ritual. You're supposed to know your position, your place, or your station. You're supposed to know that when it's meeting time, right? You should also have a job before meeting time. So in my opinion, you had mentioned the jewels and stuff at the stations. That's a senior deacon's job. The junior deacon's job is outside the door. The senior deacon's job is inside the door. So the junior deacon's job is getting everything ready outside the door with those aprons and stuff like that. Senior deacon's job is to make sure all the stations and places are proper, have everything that they need in their place and all that kind of good stuff. Keep the lodge cleaned up. The junior deacon keeps the foyer area in front, behind the lodge or in front of the lodge, whatever, however your lodge is situated, keeps that area clean. And then, everybody has their own jobs, right? Senior warden is part of the welcoming committee. And then the senior deacon comes down and helps with that, as well as the junior deacon once he gets done, making sure his stuff is all straight. There's different jobs for different positions. I believe that you create these positions and you create responsibilities so that as they go up in stature in the lodge, they also go up in responsibility as to what their job is. So one of the key things, if your lodge relies on fundraisers, your senior warden should be in charge of fundraisers because he should be making money that year for his year, right? If tradition prevails, he should be making the money for his year during your year. And that way, you don't have somebody dropping the ball during your year. You're always responsible for raising the money for your own year. Kind of a good idea, right?
It reminds me, and I know I've talked about this before, but basic training for the Air Force, I'm sure, I think this exists in other basic trainings. When you're going to the barracks, there's a brass plate on the threshold as you open the door, and you don't step on that brass plate, and it stays polished. And it's really a dumb thing, right? Like, who cares, right? But from day one, when you first come in, they shave your head, give you your BDUs, and put you in that room. You don't step on this plate, it stays immaculate. And so you built that from day one with these new people. And then by the time basic training's over and everyone's family comes to visit, we're standing there by the threshold. Hey, don't step on this plate when you walk by. Don't scuff it up. And so that's why it's so important. That's why I always say I believe the stewards should be responsible for something in the kitchen. And I believe that the deacon should be responsible for helping keep things clean and stuff like that, because it builds that buy-in. By the time You're a warden. You've been there. You've done that. And so you don't want, why is this laundry room a filthy mess? I had to vacuum
Right.
it like 100 times when I was a deacon. And now it's filthy.
Right.
That's not acceptable at all. And so you have to build that
Well,
in.
we feel that way about ritual, right?
Yeah.
You know, we all talk about the days when we all said the ritual all at one time. We didn't have the first half and the second half or whatever. You know, we did it all at the same time, and we say, well, that's just emblematic of, you know, people's laziness or whatever. Or you hear that. I don't say that, but you hear that. And you know, that's the same kind of a thing. It as you let things slide in your life, and that's a culture thing. You don't have to do that. That's a you can do that if you want to with your candidates. And some lodges do, and I'm gonna say my lodge does that. They allow people to do that. But some lodges don't. They make you give it all right at all at one time. And not until you're ready will you sit in front of the lodge, which I agree with.
But you're also talking about these responsibilities for the officers. And as you're talking about that, I'm thinking this, that's such a big reason why I'm a big advocate for doing your meals after the meeting. Because this is why everyone's getting ready to go eat before the stating meeting. The
And the
first place
stewards are
everybody
all
goes,
cleaning.
everybody's going into the kitchen, and that's where they stay. They stay in the kitchen, the dining room, and that's where all the conversations take place and everything like that. Really, you could say, hey, we're meeting earlier. And then people are at their pregame stations, right? The senior deacon's by the door, ready to investigate people, greet your whole greeting committee's ready. You got the guys in the lodge room vacuuming. You got guys, they're in the kitchen, they're in the dining room, but they're cleaning and getting things ready.
There's so many things that where brothers benefit from having that dinner afterwards instead of before. And if we did it like they do in England, like, you know, it was traditionally done, then that's what would happen. And let you folks know, these things that we're talking about, you don't necessarily have to do it just like we say, but they are good practice. It's not like they're gonna be detrimental to your lodge to do that. I would say you got to get the buy-in to build that culture in your lodge, though. It's not something that's going to happen overnight.
I just also want to point out, if you're watching this right now and you feel like your lodge is becoming or is stagnant, and a lot of lodges are, and you don't know what to do, regardless of how you feel about what we're talking about, if it's not just completely offensive to you, try it, consider it, implementing or at least a variation of
Yes.
it. Show this video to your lodge or show whatever you want to build buy-in on. Say you want to, I mean, we got videos about dues, we got videos about endowments, we got videos about importance of ritual and doing good work with your degrees, importance of having a nice lodge, whatever you think your lodge needs the most, I promise you, if you type in the search bar, there's something about it because we have been thorough over the last several years. And
Right.
if you can't find it, leave a comment and we'll probably make a video on it. But my
Oh,
point is like if
easily.
you don't know where to start, share the video and get the conversation going. But if you just well, I don't know about guarding the West Gate. That sounds kind of elitist. Well, if you're feeling stagnant and the guys that you're bringing in aren't sticking around, adopt a variation of it at least. Say, hey, let's at least watch the video without any biased opinions and try to at least implement like a hybrid approach or something because something's better than nothing. And if your lodge is already stagnant, what do you have to lose? You have nothing
Right.
to lose. And so we're talking
Just
about
don't.
building buy-in. If you have had worship masters for the last 2 or 3 years that either run the place like a dictator or they get burnt out and never show back up after their year. Maybe show a video about the importance of building buy-in and discuss it with your brothers and work collaboratively to establish that as a norm in your lodge moving forward.
Yes, absolutely. And don't do some half-assed thing, right? Don't say, well, I tried and didn't really try. Make sure that everyone is on board or at least is willing to. So let's say you watch this video or you listen to this podcast and you think, okay, well, we probably need to do this because we haven't had a new member in 3 years. Or we need to do this because people come and visit and they always never come back. On any given topic that you decide that you want people to get the buy-in on, get them involved, get them to at least watch the show and say, you know, yeah, we might be able to benefit from this, or no, we can't. Make it a lodge thing, right? Don't just have you and a couple other people watch it and then try to implement it in the lodge and you fail miserably at it because you really don't know how to. We've done it for years, right? We've gone over this stuff for years. And just watching that video one time is not going to get it. But I guarantee you, if you have all your lodge watch it together or say, you know, I commit to doing this by next week and let's all have a talk about this. And have your own Zoom meeting with your lodge and say, look, we get 30 minutes free. Let's do a 30-minute free Zoom meeting and talk a little bit about this video that we just watched, even if it's not ours, even if it's somebody else's, right? Because there's lots of great shows out there. I don't think there's anybody that has as much content as ours. I'm not saying that nobody has any good content. So let's say you find something that you really like and you'd really like to get the buy-in. Say, hey, guys, how about y'all just commit to watching this or listening to it this week? This is how you get to it. And then let's all revisit it together and have a little talk about it and see if it's something that could help our lodge. And do it that way. And then that way, even if it's not what we say, maybe it spurs another idea that your lodge can wrap around and run with, right? Because that's the goal, is getting your lodge wrapped around something and running with it so that you can be successful.
If you have something that you believe with all your heart that your lodge needs to adopt, don't try to get the buy-in. Get the buy-in. Do it or don't try at all. That doesn't mean be forceful,
Stay
but
persistent.
be persistent and consistent with your education. I will say this. I have a brother and he's a member of a lodge that I used to be a member of. I love the guy. And he is still consistently trying to convince the lodge to do certain things with it. And he's not, admittedly, he has been obnoxious about it and he knows it because we've talked about it. But there also becomes a point we have to realize you can't tell a skeleton to stand up, right? You can't tell a shell of a lodge that they need to do certain things. There's no education you can do. So you also have to know, like, hey, I believe that this is what the fraternity should do. I think this is what healthy lodges should do. But it's just like teaching a class. As an educator, you just cannot teach some people. And they grew up, and a lot of them are in some of our lodges, unfortunately. So don't try, do it. But also understand that there's a point where you have to realize this is not a productive use of my time. Don't let zombie lodges kill your enthusiasm for what you believe in the fraternity. Because what you believe a lodge should do, I promise you, even if that lodge is not the one, there is a lodge somewhere that deserves your leadership, and you just need to find it.
If you're not ready to be that leader, but you have a lot of good ideas, then there's probably a lodge out there that could use your support in following the leader and supporting their actions to get there.
Absolutely.
Even if we have all these great ideas, sometimes it's not our place to just jump out and tell everybody, hey, you're doing everything wrong, because we're the new kids on the block sometimes, and we need to just shut up and let people do their thing. You really need to sometimes be the new helper in town and start by helping first and showing your value and showing what you bring to the table. And then while you're helping, you do have a platform to talk at the same time. I truly believe that every mentor is an apprentice to somebody,
Absolutely.
and every apprentice is a mentor to somebody.
I'll say this, and just to reiterate, one of the first things that we discussed is when you show up, you make yourself available for whatever's needed. And you ask, how can I serve you? How can I serve the lodge? What do you need done? And if there's nothing, then find something that needs to be done and take care of it. If you come the first day and start telling a lodge what they're doing wrong, they're not going to pay attention. But if you show up and make yourself a valuable member to the organization, help out wherever you can, people will listen to you. A lot of these brothers that have been around for a while have seen lots of new guys come in with lots of new ideas and they just disappear. And it may be that they feel frustrated that they're not being listened to, but from their perspective, these guys don't stick around. And I've seen it. So when I say they, I'm technically one of those guys. I've seen new people come in, and if they really believed in these things that they think we should be doing, I don't think they would just disappear. So it's important. You have to build that buy-in, and buy-in starts with small things. The details matter. If you take care of the little things, the big things will follow. If you have big ideas for your lodge, take care of the little things, and then the big things will follow. Thank y'all for watching. Always appreciate Dennis giving his time up to make these videos, and appreciate each of you that are watching this evening or this morning or whatever time zone you're in. I appreciate you because Masonic Improvement has grown by leaps and bounds in the last several years.
All right. So first I'm going to start with buy-in 101. If you want your lodge to start committing to buy-in, I have one good way that you can do it. Have a movie night and rent Yes Man. I'm actually going to write a paper based off of this.
Who's in that?
Jim Carrey
What?
with, yeah.
I have never heard of this movie. I see it now. Yes Man with Jim Carrey,
Yeah.
2008. Okay.
Right.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just usually I gotta look up who the
Well, that's
main
fine.
actor is.
Might as well tell everybody. And the reason I say it is because the ultimately in this movie, what happens is he's always saying no, like all of our grumpy past masters, like how we can be sometimes when we're stuck in our zone. But then he goes to the self-help seminar, and I consider what we do is self-help in the Masonic world, right? Well, I like to help in all worlds. I want things that we bring to the table to help you in your lodge, help you at work, wherever you need help. I hope that this stuff helps you ultimately. So I'm watching this movie and he starts saying yes to everything. And then because he said yes to this, all of a sudden he's able to come full circle here and this works out for him and then this works out for him. Oh, and then he's able to save somebody because he took guitar lessons and learned this one specific song that helped this guy off a ledge. You know, just stupid coincidental stuff, right? Well, but really, it's not coincidental. When you start saying yes to things, opportunities start opening up. So just like Justin and I, we said yes to doing this, right? And then people started to recognize us, they got to know us, and then they started wanting us to speak in their lodges and whatnot. And now 90% of my time is traveling and speak. I love it. And I speak on exactly what the lodge wants me to speak on. I never go with my own preconceived anything. I always ask whoever asks me to come speak, I ask, what do you want me to speak on? What do you want your guys to hear? What do you think is necessary for them to hear that they might not hear from? And so they always give me my hint. I write it up and I present on them. And because of that, because I've offered up what other people need, word gets around. And so more people want more of that, right? Because they know you're just there to help. And so the more you offer yourself up, the more the opportunities come for you to offer yourself up. And then as you do that, people are watching, people are listening, and people start having this certain belief about you that you don't always believe about yourself. And I've seen a lot of people that were very strong leaders that really didn't realize that they were leaders. They were just trying to be helpful. And then when they were presented with the opportunity, they knew what to tell people to do because they've done those things. They've been there, done that. And so they're able to delegate what needs to be done because they've had to do those jobs. So you're building up your resume as you go along. If you're wanting to get buy-in from the lodge, do a movie night and watch that movie first. And then I want you to have an open conversation with it, not just laughing and joking about the different stupid parts in the movie. I'm talking about having a serious, open conversation about the reality of where your lodge can go if you just started saying yes to a few of the things that you currently say no to. And see where that could take you. And not just that, but on a personal level. If I just start saying yes to a few things that I normally would say no to, let's see where that takes us. And that's what it's all about, is being willing to do something that you wouldn't always be willing to do. And that's the very first step in leadership. You have to be willing to do something that you wouldn't normally be willing to do. Why is that? Because you're asking the same of others.
I've always heard, and it's said as a joke, the real word of a master mason. Have you heard this? The real word of a master mason is no. And
Oh
it's usually
man,
coming
I
from these
have
guys
heard that,
that feel like they're
and
spread too
boy, I
thin.
hate that.
Well,
Yeah.
the thing is, if you're only doing Masonic stuff, if you're only saying yes to Freemasonry, but no to your job and no to your wife and no to your kids, then that's when you need to reevaluate yourself. Because if you're only saying yes to fraternity, yeah, you have to start saying no because you're unbalanced. But if you take what you're saying and apply it to every aspect of your life, which is what we're supposed to do with everything we learn in the fraternity, start saying yes to your wife and yes to your kids and yes to your job, then everything balances out, right? Your wife's angry because she doesn't feel like she's getting attention because you're doing
That's
all this
right.
stuff.
That's
Your
right.
kids are resentful because you're always at the lodge but not at their baseball game. You have to say
I
yes to
washed
more
the
than say yes.
dishes and went on a walk this week.
Man, you're the OG yes man. I didn't mean to sidetrack. I'm sorry.
No,
I
that's
was thinking
okay.
about that as you said that, and I
No,
thought you were so dying.
that's a good point. It is a good point. We talk about it regularly, and it is something that needs to be brought up. But we should be more open to yes and realize that the missed opportunities in our life were only missed because of what's in here. The biggest space in between you and getting anything that you want is right here. It really is. We manifest our world, and we do that based on yes and no. As simple as that. The more we say yes to where we want to go, the faster we get on that path to doing it. You're never going to buy a place in Mexico if you're not looking at real estate. Simply put,
People pray for things all the time, but they say no to everything that comes their way.
that's that old one about being in the hurricane and the floodwaters being up on, you're up on a roof and the floodwaters come and I prayed. Well, I sent you a boat, I sent you a ship, I sent you a helicopter. What else can I do? You said no to all those
But it wasn't what I had in mind or how I wanted it.
Yeah, it wasn't the color boat that I was looking for. It was a rowboat. I was going to have to help.
I was
No,
thinking more
I
of
needed
like a
something with a
speedboat.
motor. But seriously, it is the reality that the more open we are to concepts, the more we are able to shape those concepts within our mind. And as we can visualize it and see it, everybody knows this. That's why you have these vision boards and all this kind of stuff. That people become millionaires selling to other people as infomercials. It's all available right here on Masonic Improvement. And you don't even have to subscribe, but man, we'd like it if you subscribe. And it'd be really cool if you went ahead and became one of our inner circle members. Then you could end up being in one of our inner circle events, like the one that's coming up. So, anyways, brothers, friends, say yes to a few things. See how that works out for you. Stop saying no to everything. Stop sitting on your couch and watching TV, wishing that you were getting in shape. Say yes to a short walk with your wife. You're going to make her happy at the same time. Let your kid ride the bike. Give her a couple of pointers as you go, and that's going to make her happy at the same time. That quality time in just saying yes is going to exponentially help you. Same thing can happen in the lodge. You just got to get your mind right. And I'm telling you, that movie will help you get your mind
I like that idea.
right. So I would start that with your first education of your lodge. Have fun with it. Have a movie night. I mean, it's easy. Last but not least, the other thing that you always have to remember, which I have to remember as well, number one, you need to be the cheerleader for somebody. You're a mentor to someone, whether you know it or not. So when you realize who you're a mentor to, be their cheerleader, help them. Support them mentally because that's going to help them exponentially. The more confident somebody feels, the better they perform. So, whatever your learning process is, learn it together and then discuss it together. That's going to get you there. As you are learning, as you are being the mentor to someone, don't forget that you're learning from somebody else. And it's not just a movie or whatever. You have to be ready to listen to those brothers that are giving that advice. A lot of them have been there. Some of them are just going to talk the talk. Just got to let them do it. Got to let everybody have their talk. But then, maybe make a rule of 3 minutes per person. And then after everybody gets a chance, then you get another chance because then you'll have people like me talking forever.
Hypocrite.
Yes, exactly. I know. See, I'm a mentor and an apprentice. See, I can recognize my own faults because I have that mindset. I understand those concepts. Seriously, be a leader, set your limits, and remember that everything goes full circle. Always remember, what you give out is going to come back to you. So if you're giving out positive vibes, you're going to get back positive vibes. If you're giving out negative vibes, you're going to get back negative vibes.
Y'all in the
But
next video.
seriously, we love you. Thank you so much. If you like us, subscribe. If you like us, join our inner circle. You'll get to be a member of our inner circle stuff. And otherwise, keep it between the points.